Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 13th day of December, year 2020. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is, now that we are over the Rubicon, we dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Borada, Cumri Ambith. We are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody joining the call is automatically muted until such time as you indicate that you wish to speak. And if you're on a phone, you do that with star 6. If you're on a computer, you press or click on the ask question button. Our website is PastorDan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together, no spaces, PastorDan.net. And I've had a lot of people contact me lately wanting information, for instance, on what kind of weapons and ammunition you might consider. I have a page called Lock and Load. You might want to go there. There's also pages with historical and research links for the identity message and the history of the white race. The Daily Mail page, of course, is loaded up almost every day. And, of course, Listen Live page is where you find scheduled broadcasts and how to listen in on the calls. You can copy that page, by the way. You just highlight it and hit Control-C and paste it into an email if you want to send it to your friends. It does appear that we are gaining listenership, and from the looks of things that are going on today, it appears that we have some influence, or I should say that our Heavenly Father has influence, because we're just the voice. His voice in this goofy, crazy world, that's what sons of God means in the Aramaic expression of the old and new parchments. Sons of God mean men who represent or have the attributes of the living God. And that's His sons and daughters, as we're going to see in Isaiah chapter 41 here in just a minute. Excuse me. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, and this is why, again, we have crossed the Rubicon. If you know that story about the Roman general and Caesar, Julius Caesar, when he led his legions across the river Rubicon, that was considered an act of war back in the days of the Roman Republic, and that was around 50 BC. He had a choice to make, and he and his legionnaires decided that rather than forfeit their power and to the Republic and those that were trying to usurp the Republic, that they crossed the Rubicon from Gaul, which is today France, back into Italy with his legions, and that was considered an act of war. Once you cross the border, which was what the Rubicon River was, a border with Rome. So it's symbolic. Crossing the Rubicon means once you've crossed it, you can't go back. Once you've crossed it, you've made a commitment, or as Julius Caesar said, the die is cast. And that's where we are in this world today. This is a good versus evil communism, world communism versus the freedom-loving people of the earth. And we have crossed the Rubicon as of now, meaning neither side can go back. And we're going to go into that here in just a minute. But anyway, Joshua chapter 24, if it seems evil to you to serve Yahweh, choose today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. And Joshua, of course, was a very blessed and anointed man of Yahweh, as many of the people in the Bible were, Abraham, etc., and David. So he's telling them, basically, choose, you know, you can choose to serve the Jews. You can choose to serve the Jewish electronic shekels that they buy up people with and get governors and health commissioners and the NIH and the CDC to do their bidding. Your Congress critters, your Supreme Court justices, your governors, all compromised by the works of people like Jeffrey Epstein, another Jew. Harvey Weinstein, another Jew. Charles Schumer, another Jew. Nancy Pelosi, Jew. Feinstein, Jew. Boxer, Jew. And on and on and on it goes. So you can choose to serve these false gods because of their promises and their fake money system that will buy you toys, at least at the moment. Or you can choose to serve the living God, which may not make you rich, may not make you famous, but he has promised his blessings upon us in this day and age and also in the kingdom to come and the age to come. So choose, just as Joshua says, choose. Benjamin Franklin told us that freedom is not a gift bestowed on us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. Hallelujah. So whether you like old Ben Franklin or not, what he said there is very, very true. Our freedoms were given to us at birth. From the moment you sucked air as a child, you were born a free man or a free woman upon the land. And every one of these earthly systems invented by men is to steal your God-given rights and to subjugate you. And that's where we are right now. This is a push for worldwide domination by the Zionist Jews of the world, hiding behind communism, which was an invention of the bankers, hiding behind a fake pandemic to instate a communist takeover of the world, not just the United States. This is happening all over the world. And so the freedom-loving people and those who worship the living God, as an army, if you want to consider it that, have crossed the Rubicon, because your enemy has also crossed the Rubicon, so to speak. The communists are in full insurgency mode. They are insane. The statements they make are ludicrous and without any rational quality to them whatsoever, which is a form of insanity, but it's also letting you know that that's how desperate these sons of bitches are. When they go to these lengths of criminality, when they make as many mistakes as they've made, when they make the outlandish statements and they use their control of the social platforms and the media to try to push a false narrative. When they go to those lengths to do that, that's a sign that they're in panic mode, because they understand the seriousness as well. They're counting on you and I being completely mesmerized by this electronic media, the images controlled by the beast, to keep us afraid and to keep us confused as to what's going on. And it's not working. And that's why they're in a panic. Now, you'll have a group out here, the people with the diapers on their face and the people that are promoting the whole COVID thing. They are sycophants of these communist Jews. They don't count because most of them have no balls and they're not very good soldiers. So they don't count, because when it gets right down to it, it's the people who are willing to fight, it's the people with the weaponry that matter. Even Mao Zedong said that all political power comes from the barrel of a rifle. Okay, so he was a Jewish-supported lawyer, just like Fidel Castro, another Jewish-supported lawyer out of New York. They call them communists, but they're basically Zionists, international banker-financed, and putting in their totalitarian regimes because that's how they control people. Okay, they call it a political system, but it's really just Jewish bankers controlling everything because they pull the strings on the communist puppets like Mao Zedong and Fidel Castro and many others like Pol Pot in Cambodia. And they're all murderers. And that's why the world needs to wake up, and especially here in the United States, they need to wake up to what these sons of bitches are up to, because they fully intend to repeat what they did to the Russians, the Ukrainians, the Koreans, the Vietnamese, the Chinese. They plan on doing that here in the United States and the rest of the world, which means they're going to murder you. And if you don't think so, then you're not a student of history. And actually, you're quite ignorant. And again, ignorant people aren't going to solve the problem. It's education. Number one, you have to be mentally prepared for a fight. As every good soldier I've ever interviewed has told me over the years, the number one thing you have to do to prepare for a conflict or any situation of survival is to be mentally prepared. Okay? Number one, mentally prepared. It doesn't matter how many bullets, beans, and blankets that you have if you're not mentally prepared. And as Sun Tzu told us in The Art of War, you have to know both yourself and your enemy if you wish to succeed on the battlefield. You have to know both. And many people today are ignorant of both, in which case Sun Tzu said you will never win. Okay? If you don't know your enemy or yourself, you will never win in a battle. If you know one but not the other, you will win half the time. But if you know both, you will succeed every time. This is why Yahweh's people shall succeed. We know both. We know who we are, where we came from, who our Elohim God is. We also know our destiny. We also have studied the book. We know who we are, and we know who our enemy is, the Zionist, communist, Marxist Jew. He is at the base of every nefarious thing going on in the world today. Every single thing has a Jewish face, a Jewish name, or Jewish money behind it. They are, as Jesus the Christ, Yahshua HaMashiach said, they are devils. They are here to steal, kill, and destroy, as it says in the book of John, chapter 8. And as you look around the world today, that's exactly what's going on. In John chapter 8, verse 12, we are told, again, therefore, Jesus, Yahshua, spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. And that's a reference back to Isaiah chapter 60. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Again, these are idiomatic expressions, light of the world, and to walk in the light means to walk in truth. That's an Aramaic expression meaning if you have light, it means you have understanding. Again, it gets back to your mental preparedness. Do you have an understanding of what's going on around you? Most of these people that watch these electronic toilets, whether it's a cell phone, a tablet, computer, or a television, they're all electronic toilets. If you're spending your time watching mainstream programming coming to you via your toilet, then you have no idea what the hell is going on. And that's one way Yahweh has helped us out to identify who our friends are and who the enemy is, because people who watch the toilet, the mainstream toilets, they're your enemy. I don't care if you're related to them. I don't care if they're your friends or neighbors. They're your enemy because they are easily persuaded. And it's through the electronic toilets that they're trying to tell these these automatons that walk around with dirty diapers on their face that you're the problem. You see, they want them to do their fighting because these cowards called Jews don't like to have to fight. They don't want to get their hands dirty or bloody. They would rather get somebody else to do it. Unless, of course, you work for the Mossad or the IDF, in which case they don't mind murdering people. They do it all the time over there to the Palestinians, and nobody in the world cares. Especially the hypocritical Americans who claim to believe in life and liberty, and yet the butchering of the babies in the mother's womb, we're okay with that. The butchering of Palestinian men, women, and children on a daily basis by these sons of bitches called Jews, oh, we're okay with that. It's called hypocrisy, which is, by the way, a leading indicator of Jewish behavior. That's why Christ told us in Luke, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is their hypocrisy. What's leavening? Leavening is anything that makes a small, almost imperceptible change in a thing or a process. That's leavening. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware the leaven of the Jews who make small, almost imperceptible changes in your politics, your education, your medical, your entertainment, your media, and your government. You see how they have used gradualism, which is another term synonymous with leavening process, gradualism, to destroy our constitutional Christian republic? That's how they did it, because sleepy, dopey white men and women, thanks to their traitors called preachers, lulled them to sleep as the Jews, like termites, were eating away at the foundation of our republic. So it's a very apropos that we talk about crossing the Rubicon, because Julius Caesar did that to save the Republic, the Roman Republic, and today the patriots of this world, the true believers and patriots of America, must cross the Rubicon in defense of our Republic once again. The main reason I wanted to talk about that is because the symbology of crossing the Rubicon is the fact that there is no going back, folks. There is never going to be another normal, not the way you believe it to have been from March of 2019, or I should say March of 2020. That America is gone, and in a lot of ways it should be gone, because it was hedonistic, it was evil, it was wicked. And there are a lot of things that we considered normal and acceptable back in March of this year that are unacceptable to our Heavenly Father. So we don't want to go back to that normal anyway. So a lot of the things that are happening right now are actually beneficial to Yahweh's people. He's destroying the entertainment industry. He's exposed the professional sports as nothing but political hacks. I can't believe anybody watches those so-called athletes. They're just entertainers. They're just whores, really. Dressed up, pimped up whores. Your TV and movie personalities are whores. Your television personalities are whores. Your mainstream media, including Fox News, whores. Every one of them is a prostitute, selling their bodies and their talents out for the highest bidder. And they have no integrity whatsoever, no character or integrity whatsoever. Isaiah chapter 41, but you, Israel, or Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend. Now, let me ask you a question. For those folks out there say, well, you know, Dan, you guys teach that identity message, you know, you're just a racist, you know, because God doesn't care about DNA. That's funny, because Isaiah, which I understand to be a pretty prolific prophet, in most circles anyway, he's telling us here in verse 8, but you, Israel, remember Jacob's name was changed to Israel, but you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring the descendants of Abraham, my friend. That's a specific group of people that walk the earth. So for all the naysayers out there, you can kiss my rosy red cheeks, because that's pretty damn plain. And so if you don't get the racial aspect of Scripture, then you're just an ignoramus. Really? So why would anybody care what you think? If you're that ignorant, you're that stupid, you're that brainwashed by the Jewish media that you can't figure that out, then what would I care what you think? Verse 9. You, again, the offspring of Abraham here, you whom I have taken hold of from the ends of the earth and called you from its corners and said to you, you are my servant, I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Do not you be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your Elohim God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all those who are incensed against you will be disappointed and confounded. Those who strive with you will be like nothing and shall perish. You will seek them and will not find them. Even those who contend with you, those who war against you will be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, Yahweh, your Elohim God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, do not be afraid. I will help you. Hallelujah, right? And then in Exodus chapter 14, Moses said this to his people, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of Yahweh, which he will work for you today, for you will never again see the Egyptians whom you have seen today. Yahweh will fight for you and you shall be still. Henry David Thoreau told us that there's 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to the one who is striking at the root. You know, I've posted that on many, many platforms in the last 12 months. And I'm glad to see that some people are finally getting it. Instead of hacking at all these branches, such as a corrupt Supreme Court, a fraudulent election system, a Congress that's completely worthless, a judicial that's completely corrupt, the three-letter alphabet agencies which are always working against mankind. Instead of whacking at all those branches, why don't we go to the root? Again, dig down. Where does the root always take you? To a Jewish face, a Jewish name, or Jewish money. The common denominator of all three, of course, is the part where I said Jewish. Judaism, the same religion that hates Christ and Christ's sons, the same religion that calls him basically a liar who is boiling in hot excrement, that denounced Mary as a slut and a whore. Okay, the same religion that teaches their people to spit upon the sidewalk near any building where believers have congregated. The same religion that holds that all of mankind is to be slaves to the Jew, because the Jew is the only one worthy of ruling this earth. Yeah, that religion. Again, they are basically Satanists hiding behind a religion, much like the bankers hide behind communism as a political movement. It's really just a way for the bankers to stay in control and to control you and me. It's the Jewish bankers that control communism. The Jewish bankers control Zionism. Again, it's always the bankers, the money. The root of all evil, the love of money. And who loves money more than a Jewish banker? It's not possible. Amos chapter 3, verse 7, it says, surely the Lord Yahweh will do nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. You know, a lot of people today don't believe there is prophets at work. That's a shame, because I'm here to tell you they are at work. It's just a question of people whether they're paying attention or not. Now, that can be debated. But the prophets do work. Yahweh still speaks through them to you. In fact, that's the mission of a prophet. The priest was to represent the people to Yahweh himself. The mission of the prophet was to represent Yahweh to the people. That's the difference. We don't need priests today because you can go straight to our Father thanks to the works of Yahshua. So there is no need for the priest, the preacher, the pastor, whatever. We don't need them. You have a direct connection to your Father. You don't need any of them. You don't need any religiosity. You don't need any institution. You don't need any brick and mortar building to have a relationship with your Father. If you choose to make it so, that's your problem. We have that relationship because it's straight from him to us and vice versa. However, the prophet still has a mission because the people have become deaf and dumb. They're chasing after false gods, as we read in that one scripture earlier. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. You're going to serve the gods of your ancestors or the people around you? What do they worship? Again, the flat screens, whatever the flat screens tell them to worship. If the flat screens tell them that this personality is something to be monitored and emulated, that's what you do, don't you? If the flat screens, the toilets tell you to put a diaper on your face, you're going to go ahead and do it because you believe everything coming across that toilet. Even when it's a criminal like Fauci and Burks and Friedman or whoever the hell it is over at the CDC, another criminal. Even though these people really don't deserve your attention at all because they are frauds and fakes, but because they appear on your electronic toilet, you believe it's credible. Do you see why the Jew is going crazy? Because his propaganda machine is breaking down? Because for decades now, you people of the world, you've believed anything that these morons put on that electronic toilet. And they put some of the dumbest ass things I've ever seen on these toilets, and you believe it. You believe it. You believe that a government that can't even run a post office strapped individuals on the front end of a rocket and shot them up to a light in the sky called the moon and back, and you believe they actually accomplished that because it was on television. You forget all the time that they've produced all kinds of movies where there were monsters and spacecraft and ventures, and it's all done in a studio. You've never put the two together. If they can make you believe that in a movie because it's at the studio, all of a sudden now when the evening news puts the same pictures up there in front of you, now all of a sudden you believe it to be true. Do you see how easy it is to fool you? Do you see why it's very possible that they have become so lazy over the decades because we have been so silly and ignorant of reality? No wonder. It's no wonder that they think, well, why aren't they believing it now? And they're panicking. They put some retard up there named Joe Biden and his little whore, Kamala Harris, up there, and you actually think these are viable candidates? Are you kidding me? They put some automaton like Northam in Virginia who's a communist, and the people in the government underneath them are all communists, and you believe they have a right to shut down your businesses and tell you to put a diaper on your face, and they have the right to restrict your ownership of firearms. Are you kidding me? These people are criminals. They're communists. They violated their oath of office. They should be hunted down by the sheriffs and the posses made up of the militia and put on trial for treason. Organize a citizens' grand jury Stay outside of the courts. The courts are corrupt. They've been corrupt. Just ignore them. They have no power unless you give it to them. Those black-robed, pompous asses that claim to have rulership in the courtroom, they have no power if the men with guns say they have no power. Remember, you and I, as armed white men, we're the power. That's why they're spending so much time and energy to convince you that they're right, that they have power, trying to suppress you. Because they are scared to death that you ever realize that you don't owe them a goddamn thing. They owe you everything. But they hope and pray that you don't ever figure it out. They hope and pray that the sons of the living God never figure out that we're the ones that were supposed to be in charge. We're the ones who can fix the problems that we have today. Not these sycophants and these criminals in the kakistocracies we call government. No, they're never going to solve a problem. They created the problems, folks. So again, mankind, whether he knows it or not, has crossed the Rubicon. You and I as individuals, you and I as believers in the living God and believers in the freedoms our founding fathers left us, we are an army. We don't realize we're an army yet, and we haven't taken the field of battle yet, and I do mean yet. However, that's who we are. And Scripture makes it very, very clear that the whole world is in travail because we have not manifested ourselves on the battlefield. We have not taken prisoners. We have not put criminals before tribunals. And when found guilty, take them outside and publicly hang them or publicly execute them. Personally, I believe in hanging because why waste ammunition? Perfectly good ammunition should never be wasted on filth and traitors and scumbags. That's what good hemp rope is for. In fact, you can go look in the Farmer's Almanac. Used to have a good hemp rope is good for hanging 50 politicians. So our founding fathers understood the criminal nature of these people called politicians. They're scum. They're scum. And shame on us for ever believing them to be anything but scum. That's why the Founding Fathers envisioned a small, limited government, very limited in size, very limited in their powers and their obligations, very limited in their budgets. But the bankers figured out how to take that over and expand their powers and their ability to tax and rob us of our wealth. And we followed suit, which is to our chagrin, you know. That's against us. We should never have let that happen. And again, that's why the Second Amendment and the militia are so important. The sheriffs, according to Sheriff Mack anyway, are starting to wake up in large numbers. And they're beginning to realize that if there is an uprising and they have violated their oath of office, they can take that badge and just melt it down and turn it into something else because they will be an enemy. This is war. The Republic is dead. The Constitution is dead. The rule of law is dead. As far as man's law is dead, we still have God's law. That's always present. So all of these things that were established that have been completely polluted, they're gone. It's basically warfare, communist versus freedom-loving mankind. That's it. There's only two camps. No fence. That's another thing you have to understand. We're over the Rubicon now. There is no fence. You're either on the side of the insurgents, the communists, or you're on the side of those who want to uphold man's law or God's law versus man's law. So you have a choice to make. And that's one of the things that crossing the Rubicon represents, is there is no going back to the old way. So all of you people, and I know lots of people that are in this boat, you know, they've got really nice retirements. Maybe they've got a nice 3,000 square foot home on a waterfront somewhere, and they're envisioning living out their lives in this cushy little scenario. Well, that's a nice pipe dream, and the Jews let you have that pipe dream so that they could buy your silence while they were stealing your country. Okay, but unfortunately for you folks today, the timing is wrong. It might have worked for your parents. It might have worked for some of your peers, but the time has run out. The clock, the alarm on the clock is about to go off. It's 1 minute to midnight, and all of that pipe dream, all of those Jewish promises to buy your silence are going to go up in smoke, because communists are famous for promising you anything until they get to power. And Americans, if we lose this battle, you're gonna live it, okay? You're gonna join your Russian cousins in lamenting what happens when you let the communists take over. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, in his writings, often talks about how the Russian people lamented the fact that they acquiesced to these bloodthirsty, murderous, butchering communists when the Russian people could have easily taken them down and executed every one of them. They could have easily done it. Instead, they allowed themselves to be manipulated and terrorized, and we set that red terror loose on the world. And of course, the communist Jews in America and Western countries financed communism from day one. So everybody that says communism is a plight and we fought the Vietnam War and the Korean War and all this other stuff to end communism, that's a lie. That is a lie. We didn't fight to stop communism. That's why we lost in Vietnam. That's why we lost in the Middle East. We lost every war because the Jews back in Washington and the Jews in the other capitals of the world were going to make sure that communism didn't die. They were going to kill off Whitey, and they were going to spend billions of dollars because war is highly profitable for the Jew, but they were going to make sure that communism ultimately survived because it was their tool. So it was never intended for our military to conquer communism, ever. And it's so unfortunate that so many of our people died in World War I and World War II to destroy the only nations that were truly anti-communist, which was the Germans, the Italians, and the Japanese. Yeah, it's to our chagrin. So stop all this hero worship, because I lost relatives in both of those wars. My grandfather was a Marine in World War II. My cousin is buried in the Battle of the Bulge in France. My uncle Brownie was in the trenches of World War I. I'm not trying to denigrate their patriotism because they didn't know any better. But let's stop hero worshiping the troops that defeated the only armies that were ever going to stop the Bolshevik Red Terror. Yeah, we did that. We spent blood and money stopping the only three armies that truly intended to destroy communism. Just shows you the power of the Jew. And that's why this is the battle of all battles that we're facing right now, because this is it. This is for all the marbles. We've known this battle was coming for some time. The Dead Sea Scrolls even talked about it. Okay, the scriptures certainly talk about it, the Battle of Armageddon, the final great battle between good and evil, when the sons of Yahweh shall be manifested and turn the tide. Obadiah 18 will come to pass. Ezekiel 25 verse 14 will come to pass. Malachi chapter 4 will come to pass. But they will come to pass when the sons of the Most High decide that they've had enough. A lot of people are sitting around thinking, well, the second coming will take care of it, or they really are screwed up and they think the rapture is going to take them out of here. Nope, there is no rapture. You're here for the whole duration, so get that through your head. And Yeshua could come at any time, if that's his choice, but until he does, we have a commission. That's why he said, occupy till I return. Occupy is a military term. Occupy. It didn't say, go sit on your fat ass watching television, eating candy all day long, and drinking beer, watching ridiculous sports. That was not the commission. The commission was to occupy, meaning subdue the evil. We failed. The Jews figured out that if you give them toys and entertainment and promises of wealth, even though they don't deserve it, promotions that they don't deserve, why do you think these Congress people and these women and minorities get the jobs that they got? Because they don't deserve them. They will be loyal to the Jews that put them in power because they know they didn't earn those positions. Come on, let's be honest. I saw it the whole time I was in the military. I saw it the whole time I was in the electrical power industry. I saw it in other industries. I saw it in my brother's industries. The people that are honest will tell you that. In fact, I had an interesting conversation recently where a man's relative was in the military for a very long period of time, over 30 years, and at the end of that distinguished career, he made a statement very similar to what General Smedley Butler said. If you remember General Smedley Butler, the highest decorated Marine Corps, or actually the highest decorated military person during his time, he wrote a book called War is a Racket. And this gentleman, after his distinguished career, basically said the same thing. Our military is nothing more than a tool of the bankers to subjugate other countries. It's time we wake up to that. Our military was used to destroy Germany, Italy, and Japan when they stood in the way of the expansion of the communists. Our treason at the Bay of Pigs is the reason Cuba went communist. Our treason against the Chinese nationalists under Chiang Kai-shek is the reason Taiwan, or Formosa, which is what it used to be called, is where the free Chinese went to when America betrayed the freedom-loving Chinese to destroy the Jewish-financed communist Chinese. Treason. And we still have that treason here today. All you have to do is look at the face of Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Feinstein, Boxer, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, Comey, Clapper, Brennan, the face of communist treason in your country. The same treason that has bled the ground with hundreds of millions of innocent souls. And yet you're crying crocodile tears over a fictitious story about 6 million kikes in Poland, mostly, not Germany, Poland, where it's easy to hide forensic evidence. 6 million supposed kikes, even though they've changed that figure over the years. You're crying crocodile tears and you're allowing these monsters to get away with murder over a supposed 6 million, and yet you don't have one tear to shed for hundreds of millions of people that were destroyed by the Bolshevik, Zionist, Jew, communist regimes. You don't have a single tear for the millions upon millions of babies ripped apart so Jewish companies can make money off their parts. You don't have a single tear to shed for all that. That's a sign of brainwashing, folks. That's a sign that you have been mentally lobotomized to where you can't think anymore. All you can do is react to however the Jew through his electronic toilets tells you how to react. That's the state of the white race today. They don't know how to think. They don't know how to rationally determine what's going on. They don't have that ability anymore. All they got is the ability to turn on a toilet, electronic toilet, and let the Jews tell them what to think. So crossing the Rubicon means that this is a time that you must get involved. Every single person must choose a side. I say hallelujah. Enough of this wishy-washiness, enough of this, well, I'm just going to sit up here on the fence and see who wins, and I'm going to jump down on the side. No, I think it's great that the Father has determined that, no, you don't get that. You don't get that cop-out. You don't get to sit on there. You got to choose a side today. This is it. I've watched several things over the last 24 hours and read several articles where quite a few people are saying basically the exact same thing. Jim Willey just did an interview with Robert David Steele saying the exact same thing. Whether you want to believe it or not, we are going to witness huge changes over the next month. Huge changes are coming. And it's going to require everyone to choose a side. Now, I know a lot of people don't like that. But you know what? Do you think the Father cares whether or not you like what's going to happen? Do you think He actually gives a damn whether you're offended or you're lazy or you just don't want to be involved or bothered or you don't want to be confrontational with these assholes? Do you think He actually is concerned about that? He already gave you life. He gave you a commission. You're not doing it. He gave you a law. You're not following it. He came down and put upon flesh and actually went through a very terrible ordeal to prove His love for you. Most of you don't care. Most of you don't care. Most people don't actually believe. That's why He said, "Will I find faith upon the earth when I return?" Take a look at all the people with diapers on their face. Do you see any faith there? They're afraid of a non-existent disease. And you heard me right. It's non-existent, folks. They just changed the name of the flu to coronavirus. That's all. That's all that happened. A strain of the flu was called coronavirus, and the whole world is in a panic. That's how stupid mankind has become. That's all it took. Change the name. Put some faces on front of the electronic toilets, claim that they're some kind of expert, and all of mankind is ready to roll over and play dead for these Jews. In fact, they're going to roll over and go roll up their sleeve and go, "Please, stick me with that poison. Tag me. Change my DNA. Track me for the rest of my life." And Caucasian guy says, "Yes, and the flu is not contagious." Well, that gets back to the Frenchman's dissertation back in the 1800s that terrain theory is the true medicine, not germ theory. This whole germ theory was concocted by Jews to sell detergents and antibiotics, vaccines, all of that nonsense. Terrain theory. Go look it up. Terrain theory by Bocamp. I think that's how you pronounce it. Bocamp or Bocamp. It's a Frenchman. But he tried to discount Louis Pasteur and his whole germ theory as utter nonsense. And really, it's like everything else today. We're shown utter nonsense by NASA. were showed utter nonsense about true history. Like I just said, the three countries that were going to stop the communists, we stopped them. Why? Because the Jews used the media to tell you that they were bad people. And you believed it. You believed it. Even though if you had stopped for even just a minute and rationally thought about it, you could have easily disproven it. If you sat down with a calculator or a pen and pencil and just did some calculations, you could prove that the whole 6 million lie of the Holocaust is ridiculous. Just like this whole pandemic. If you sat down with a pencil and paper, you'd realize that, wait a minute, a disease with a 99.5% survival rate is a pandemic? Are you kidding me? What happened to all the other reasons for death, like heart attack and pneumonia and influenza? All of them are like zero right now because everything's being labeled COVID, and you people can't figure it out? Again, all you have to do is sit down for a couple minutes with a piece of paper and start doodling it out, and it's pretty damn obvious that it's a lie, but you don't even do that. Your trusted voices, your Dan Rathers, your Sean Hannity's, your Tucker Carlson's get up there on that toilet, and all of a sudden you shut your brain off as if those sons of bitches are going to tell you the truth. You got to be kidding me. They're millionaires for a reason, people. They're on multi-million dollar studios and in front of that electronic toilet for a reason. Do you think anybody teaching this truth that we're teaching now is ever going to see the light of day on a million-dollar studio or come across electronic toilets on your evening news? Of course not. Yahweh's truth is too special and too precious. It only goes out to those that deserve it. Because most of these people don't deserve it. To be honest with you, they don't. Because they've chosen which side of the fence they want to be on. They've chosen. They want to be on the side of the fence with the communists. It's sad. But take a look around. Take a look at some of your friends, your neighbors. Okay? Do they care about the truth? Most of them don't. They'd rather just be entertained. Leave me alone. I don't want to know about that. I want butterflies and rainbows. Please. Don't tell me any more about what's really going on. Don't tell me what a fool I am for putting this diaper on my face. And that I'm committing child abuse by children going to a classroom with these idiotic diapers on their faces and sitting in cubicles that are isolated from one another. Are you people real? How do you not see that as child abuse? Shame on the parents that allow their children to go to public school today. I'm going to say it out loud. Shame on you. That's child abuse. The public school system is bankrupt of any virtue whatsoever. First of all, it's a hotbed of communist doctrine. And second of all, they're pushing this whole COVID bullshit. That's an outright sign of communism right there. Anybody pushing this whole nonsensical pandemic thing is a communist. Either that or they're dumber than a box of rocks. But either way, why would you associate them? Why would you let people that are that compromised spend 7 to 8 hours with your child every day? Why would you do that? Somebody want to call in and explain that to me? Because I don't understand it. Why would you subjugate your child to that? That's why I was blessed that my son and my three grandchildren are not in the public schools. They're being homeschooled. It finally took this kind of stupidity to finally wake them up, that get them out of that public school system. It's completely bankrupt. It's like everything else in this society that has been compromised and Judaized to the point of being absolute, nonsensical, and completely communist. The medical mafia is a tool. It's a weapon. It's not there to help you anymore. It's a weapon used to treat symptoms and keep you addicted to drugs. That's why doctors today, really, all they are is glorified drug pushers. They're drug dealers. They come out of school with a medical degree, but what good is it? They don't even know about nutrition. They don't. I've talked to them. I've asked them, why don't you know anything about nutrition? Well, they don't teach that. What do I care about nutrition for? Do they teach anything about natural healing? Well, why would I do that? There ain't no money in that, Dan. Why the hell would I study the natural? Well, hell, you can go out there and pick an herb out of the garden and eat it and cure your problems. So why would I teach that? I can't make no money that way, Dan. And I paid $150,000 for this medical degree. Well, fool. That's what you get for listening to that hook-nosed Jew, like a Fauci and a Burks and the rest of the scumbags. Okay? God gave you a brain. Whose fault is it that you're not using it? I want to know. Again, if I'm off base here at some point, somebody straighten me out. I got no problem with that. I really don't. Straighten me out. Another aspect of crossing the Rubicon is that you better have all your trust and faith in our Heavenly Father, because if you've got it in the arm of flesh, you're not going to go anywhere. I mean, it should be painfully obvious at this point that mankind doesn't deserve, is not fit to rule over men. Would you agree? Would you finally agree, people of the earth, that this whole experiment in man ruling over man has been an utter and complete failure? We're incapable of it. Why in the world our Heavenly Father doesn't push the big red button and just erase us is beyond my recognition. I don't know why he doesn't do it. I'd be tempted to do it. If I was sitting on that throne watching this bullshit go on down here and how many stupid ass people we got, how many lazy, no good, pathetic, lethargic, compliant, acquiescent morons we got walking this earth, I'd push that red button, flush the whole thing right down the toilet. It's disgusting. And I'm nowhere near perfect. I'm nowhere near what our Heavenly Father is, and it disgusts me. Can you imagine what a creator is thinking as he watches this display of ignorance and apathy and stupidity going on right now? Can you just imagine how he feels? Oh, well, Dan, there is no God, you know. We're here just because of a big bang and a bunch of accidental amino acids getting together in a primeval ooze. Don't you know that, Dan? The evolutionists told us that. Oh, well, yeah, they were Jewish, but they don't lie, do they? Of course not. Of course not. Darwin wouldn't lie, even though on his deathbed he confessed to the fact that it was, hey, it was just a wild theory, guys. And yet the lemmings, the same lemmings with the diapers on the face now, because of a coronavirus, which is just a flu, all of a sudden is something terrible. The same kind of people think that Albert Einstein was brilliant and he was a moron. Sigmund Freud was a pervert, but they think his ideas on psychology and psychiatry are, oh man, he's the expert. Yeah, he's a pervert, demented fucking Jew. Excuse my French. And you people lift them up as some kind of an icon. Because why? Don't even take 3 minutes to sit down and analyze anything. Because if you did, you'd see right through their bullshit. Now, the only thing I can surmise is because the Father has not pushed the button, is that there must be a remnant, just as the prophets told us. There is a remnant that he thinks is worth saving. And hallelujah to the Father for that. Even though I don't see it, most of the men I talk to don't see it. But I guess they're out there. Maybe we're like Elijah in the cave when he said, I'm the only one. And he said, don't be so silly. I got 7,000 just like you. It doesn't mean literally 7,000. It's an idiomatic expression meaning I've got a bunch out there just like you, buddy. So don't sit there and cry and bitch and moan that you're the only one. And I'm going to tell all of Jacob Israel the same thing. I know we feel like we're the only ones, so I'm going to tell you something. If we were the only ones, he would have hit that red button already. There are good people out there. We're trying to call them to action right now because we have crossed the Rubicon. There is no going back. The old ways are gone. Father is going to make sure they're gone. Why? Because they were perverted, for one thing. Why in the hell would he want us to go back to a Babylonian existence? Babylon needs to burn to the ground. What needs to come out of this is a new heaven and a new earth that recognizes our Father as sovereign, that His law is the only law that matters. That's what comes out of all this. Not a second Babylonian system. If you want a Babylonian system, then go with the communists. All right? Put a Democrat sticker on your thing and how much you love Biden and Harris, the two communists. Two mentally deficient, morally deficient communists out there. I'm going to put my faith in my Father and the gentleman I spoke with 10 years ago that told me that the military would bring down this system for the good. If that's true, then I stand behind them, and I stand ready to fight, to aid and abet a military takedown of this Babylonian system. And that's the only thing left, by the way, folks. There is no political solution going to come about. So if you're thinking the election matters, I hate to tell you this, but it doesn't matter. The Supreme Court doesn't matter. Your governors don't matter. Your state legislatures don't matter. They're all part of this Babylonian corrupt system because they're all compromised either by blackmail or bribery with Jewish shekels in their pockets. And that would be one way to determine who the traitors amongst us are, is to trace back who's got Jewish or Chinese, which is the same thing, Jewish Chinese shekels in their pocket. They've committed treason. Those that have violated their oath of office have committed treason. That goes for police and sheriffs and sheriff's deputies. You violate your oath of office if you took foreign money, which includes Jewish money, just like these health commissioners for most of the counties, they took a bribe. That's why they're pushing the COVID. The hospitals took a bribe. That's why they're pushing the whole COVID nonsense. Doctors took a bribe, just like my one relative in Maryland took a bribe, and he's pushing the COVID. That's all signs of treason against mankind, against truth, honesty, integrity, and they are complicit in the commission of murder. Because people have died because of this nonsense. People have wrecked their cars. People have had heart attacks. Old people have died in old folks' homes. People have been put on ventilators, which killed them. And in some cases, they were outright just murdered by the medical establishment. Nurses and other whistleblowers have attested to this. That's guilty of treason. Anybody and murder, anybody pushing this whole COVID bullshit story is a traitor. So I'm praying for the Father to pull the plug on this thing. I believe that's what's going to happen very, very soon. That's why I believe that we have crossed this Rubicon, figuratively speaking. This is a communist insurgency. There is no other way to describe it. And they will not stop until they are stopped. That's it. It makes it very simple, guys. They're not going to stop, so we can't stop. Yahweh has identified our enemy. We've just talked about that. They're everywhere. The fraud is everywhere. And again, I would highly encourage that you check out some of the links that I sent out or I have posted on the website for these reports about what's going on. All I know is there's an awful lot of smoke on the horizon, which means there's some kind of fire. And I'm going to trust my Heavenly Father that that fire is a good thing for us. Because if it burns down Babylon, I say hallelujah. I don't want the old way back. I don't want it back. I don't want the public school system back. I don't want the banking institutions back. I don't want large, bloated, bureaucratic government back. I don't want taxation that just throttles us back. I want the middle class to come back. Small businesses, mom and pop businesses, I want to see corporations completely eliminated. Corporations disbanded. Insurance companies disbanded. The medical mafia disbanded. The three-letter agencies disbanded. All of it. It's all criminal. We have a king. We have a monarch. We have a law. We don't need any of it. You want to know what real liberty and freedom is? You don't even know what it is, people. You've never lived in it. You've been under a statist, communist, soft system most of your life, setting you up for this. So you don't even know what liberty is all about. You have no idea. You've had government telling you what to do from the time you were born, when they jabbed you and shoved that poison into your body, made you fill out a form, made you get a birth certificate, made you get a social security number. You have no idea what liberty and freedom is all about. Once you cross the Rubicon, there's no going back. And I hope you understand that's where we're at. That's the main point of what I wanted you to know today. And we have crossed it. As a country and as freedom-loving people of this world. In the name of Yahweh, we stand against these interlopers, these communists. And it's a battle to the death. I hope you understand that too. There will be no compromise. There will be no treaty between them and us. We cannot coexist in this world. Evil cannot coexist with righteousness. Anybody that thinks that's possible is a fool. Can't have it. So anyway, if anybody's got something to report, now would be a good time to do it. Yeah, Ralph says, just shows how much, how useless most jobs are. Most jobs are created by the money powers to give people work. Just like I said, I can't tell you how many minorities, women, and unqualified men I have worked with in my career that were given jobs and paid salaries that they didn't deserve because they were morons. They weren't talented. They didn't know what the hell they were talking about. They relied on guys like us that actually knew what was going on to make them look good. And they, some of them actually admitted that. That's how come I know. I had a female boss about 8 years ago, and she told me and one other guy that were the supervisors of a bunch of technical writers that when she was given the job of project manager, she said, I'm unqualified for this. I know it. You know it. So you guys just do what you have been doing because you're good at it. And I'm just going to sit in here and look at the budget and pretend that I'm in charge. I give her credit. She was at least honest. She was at least honest. And she did exactly what she said. She left us alone. She didn't try to manage us like so many people do when they're unqualified. So I give her credit that she was honest enough to say that's exactly what it was. And I had a young engineer in Ohio many years ago told me the same thing. He had just come off of a job as a trucker, even though he had an engineering degree. And they put him in charge of our group, and first thing he told me was the same thing. He goes, I don't know. I don't have a clue what you do, Dan. So you just run the crew any way you want, and I'll sit here, and if you need me, you come get me. I said, hey, okay, Bob, that'll work. Do you see what I'm saying? So unqualified people, we've been doing this for a long time because the people at the top, they have control of electronic shekels. And now we create them in a computer. There is no real money. It's just all electronic shekels. So they can make anybody anything they want. That's why you've got so many of these people like Jeff Bezos. Are you kidding me? Zuckerberg? That these guys are technical people? That they got there on their own? Epstein. I mean, look at the fact that he was a made man. All right? He had no talent other than being an absolute criminal. Many of these people are that way, especially these Jews that arise to certain levels of power. They're not there because they're talented. That Wojcicki at Facebook or YouTube, do you think she's there because she's talented? Or that complete moron in charge of Google, you think he's talented and he actually knows how the day-to-day things work? No, they're just ass kissers. They're just prostitutes. They're paid really nice salaries to go out there and make you think that they're the ones in charge. No, they're not. They're just figureheads. They're just figureheads. They take a big salary. They're like a lot of these people that come across even alternative media. They got great big fat paychecks that go out there and pretend, just like these professional sports people. They get paid big fat paychecks to do what? Entertain you. Keep you distracted. And they're good at it because that's all you people talk about. Hey, man, did you see what the latest sports guys did or who took a knee or did you see the outfit those girls were wearing at halftime? Oh, my God, I saw all kinds of boobs and butts. That's all it takes. It's all it takes to distract us and basically steal everything that our founding fathers and our ancestors had put here for us. All taken away because the Jews figured out a long time ago, all you got to do is give us a few shekels and put us in our pockets so we can go out and get drunk and whatnot and throw some images up on those toilets to distract us and put the soap operas up there for the ladies and half-naked women for the men, and they'll let you do pretty much anything you want to do. Tell me it's not true. All right, we got Adam here. Let me see if I can get the software to work. Can you hear me, Adam?
Yeah, hi, Dan.
Hey, how you doing, bud?
Doing good, thanks. You reminded me of a story I thought I'd share about my last job. I was working at a property management software company. It's another one of these big software companies have popped up around California. They got probably 6,000 or 7,000 people worldwide. Anyway, the department I was in had a vice president that was highly regarded in the company, but we only saw him in person maybe once or twice a year, and he never talked to any of us. He would walk by as if real busy and important, and he didn't care about anybody. The only interaction we ever got with him was once a month we all piled into a little room and got on a conference call where he told us updates about sales and things that nobody in the room had any interest in or involvement with. There's probably 25 people or so in these calls. Anyway, underneath him was all this mess, nepotism, my manager, who's my neighbor, was sleeping with my teammate, who was sitting right next to me. And he's my team lead, the guy who's fooling around with this girl. Then they move in together. They're taking vacations together. It's completely against the policy I read when I signed on to that job. And this is the kind of thing that happens throughout the company. It was known for nepotism. And I'm just sitting there at this point of my employment. This was about, 2 years into my employment there, this had started. And after 4 years of it, I didn't care anymore. So I was pushing. I was sending emails, and I didn't out them right away, but I did eventually say, look, you guys got a precarious situation here. And I ended up pushing it all the way to the, I think, the vice president of the company. I did not care at all. I just was like, whatever. I'm going to push it to HR, and they don't do anything. So I'm going to go way over their head. Anyway, immediately, this vice president of my department, who I personally couldn't care less about because he was supposed to be this highly regarded, respected person, and all this mess was right. He was directly responsible for it, and he was a hands-off kind of guy. You know, as far as I know, he worked from his home if he worked at all. I don't know what he did. But as soon as I kind of started pushing that information up the chain, I don't know if they fired him. I think they just moved his department, but it was immediate. He was gone. We had no more monthly meetings. We had a meeting to discuss these things. The teammate of mine who was sleeping with my team lead, she had to be moved to another department. They brought in some other new vice president supervisor guy from Minnesota. So another guy that has no connection to anyone on the team itself. So it was a changing of the guard. It was going to be another useless idiot to replace a useless idiot. I don't know. There was another guy up higher in the chain who got removed. But as soon as all that happened, that new vice, or I think his title was supervisor. I don't remember his title, but he was pressuring me. Now they were going to attack me and make me real uncomfortable. So anyway, you just reminded me of that because all the people on my so-called level were just highly respectful. They just did their job and they never asked questions. They seemed to be fine with the status quo, which is a term I hate. And meanwhile, if we just had pushed a little bit, we could have had some real change. Like I wanted to work remotely and they would not even listen to me. And the people on my level were the core of the entire department. Nobody above us, not even really my team lead, because he was a lazy. He just sat around. The core of everything that happens was on our level. Everyone above us was useless. And if we just kind of made our stance, we could have made the company be A, more effective, less expensive, because there's people sitting around for 3-4 hours every day with nothing to do. They don't have to be there. They could be home tending their garden or doing something useful and enjoying their life, but that's not what the corporate structure will tolerate. They don't want that at all. They want you there wasting your life. Anyway, sorry for the little long, but you just reminded me of that.
Yep, I've seen it as well. Same thing. They just replace one useless idiot with another useless idiot. They call it resume building. It was some kind of a, probably come out of the mind of a Jew, as convoluted as it is, that somehow it's great for managers to be rotated every 2 years, build a resume, round them out, but really what it does is it destroys any cohesiveness at the workplace. Okay, when I first went into the military, first went into power, your managers, your engineers, a lot of times they were there for 15, 20, 25 years. So everybody at the plant knew them, knew their name, knew the phone number to their office, knew what they did know and didn't know. And many times they could solve a problem or walk right out. Like one engineer in Michigan that I worked with, he had such a knowledge of the systems in that plant. It was unbelievable. Without any manuals, without any prints, he could walk out and tell you what cable went to what signal went where, if something wasn't working right, where the problem probably was. I mean, his level of knowledge was just unbelievable because he stayed where he was competent. You know, that's one of the Murphy's, you always hear about Murphy principles and Murphy's law. And one of the Murphy's principles is that people get elevated and promoted to a level above their competency level in today's world. In other words, maybe you're really good as a stock guy, then they move you up to be the manager at night for all of the stocking, and eventually they'll move you up to a position to where you're completely out of touch with reality. You have no talent whatsoever. They'll put you in as like a regional manager, and your skill levels are completely lost at that point. But business in America, now that it's Judaized, that's what Jews do. Jews rise to a level that's way above their competency, but they don't care because they'll buffalo their way and they get paid a big salary. That's what they want. They want the prestige and they want the salary. Well, they've turned us into the same thing. Our people accept positions where they're completely incompetent because of the prestige and the salary. So we've been Judaized. Back in the day, when I was a young man, people didn't want that. They only wanted to go up as high as it was to where they were good at what they did. So when they went home at night, they felt like they actually accomplished something. They were actually building something or helping people or whatever. Not to a level where you're at like a duck, you know, a fish out of water. But that's where we're at today. And the same thing in government. Look how many of these people are complete morons. Look at AOC. I don't even know if I'd buy a mixed drink from AOC. Okay, she was supposed to be a bartender, but she's so stupid, I'm not sure what the hell I would be drinking if I ordered a drink from her as a bartender. So she's not even a good bartender, let alone sitting in at the federal level as a congressperson. You got to be kidding me.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, so we've got a true kakistocracy. That's a Greek word, or it comes from the Greeks, and it basically means government by your worst elements. Worst. Worst. Not your best, your worst. The most criminal, the most incompetent buffoons are the people that are in charge, making decisions. Now, not only at the state level, but at the federal level. They're just completely retarded. And what's more retarded is that we accept it. That's even more retarded. The people that can still think, believe that we're supposed to obey these people. In what universe do you do that? These people are not worthy of any respect or obedience. In fact, our founding fathers made it quite clear that when they are this corrupt and ignorant, You're not only not supposed to obey them, you're supposed to go in there and rout them out and put them on trial. And if they're guilty, then execute them. I mean, that's what tarring and feathering and lynching used to be. Isn't it funny that they want to outlaw lynching? Why do you think that is, folks? Why do you think they would all of a sudden want a law that says lynching is illegal? It's because they know you're about ready to come in and lynch them. That's why. I mean, come on, think about it. But again, we don't have any law at this point, okay? It's proven. Everything is broke. There is no law. So even if there was a law that says you can't tar and feather and lynch and all that, it's ludicrous. There is no law. We don't have any law. We're back at the law of the jungle is where we're at. At least that's how I see it. What do you think?
I definitely agree. All you have to do in my town is, well, for one, I am uniquely positioned to not be busied by going and back and forth to a job that doesn't matter. So I pay attention to what's around me, and I see exactly what you're talking about. There's trash everywhere. There's broken glass all over the streets. As a cyclist, that's something you got to watch out for. It's a marked difference. You know, there's been fireworks at 2 a.m, not actually the last month really, but a lot over the summer, you know, not right. Just 4th of July. And then if you pay attention to the local, there's some like Crime Spotter or something like that is a website where they mark out all the different criminal activities that have been picked up on. They're all over the place. They're everywhere. And if you are looking at the demographic shifts, I see people who look like they came straight in on a bus and stole a bike because it's a nice bike, and they don't look like the kind of person who rides bikes. You know, I don't need to talk to the guy to know some things like that. Like, if I see a guy, this happened actually. I saw probably a late 20s black male, not from around here, because up until this year, we don't have blacks in my town. And now they're everywhere. But this guy was walking behind an old man on a walker. The old man, old white man with a mask on, pushing his little walker thing to go to Carl's Jr. And this black guy had a nice road bike. He has a backpack and jeans. He doesn't have clip-on shoes, and he's got this nice road bike, and he's walking it on the sidewalk. And I took one look at it because he was within 4 feet of the white guy, and the white guy's walking awkwardly slow because he's really old. And this guy is tailing him. And I actually turned the corner and stopped just to watch, and that guy, and I started filming. And the black guy kind of gave him some space after that, but the white guy didn't know it was there. And I'm pretty sure that guy was going to get his head caved in soon. But just the changes are all over the place. You just have to like walk the streets a little bit. People don't do that though. They get in the comfort zone of their car and they turn on some music, and then they're cushioned and they can go on believing that cops are going to fix this, when a lot of times they're just ignoring it anyway.
Yep, pretty much. I had a report. I don't know if people know who Carl Warden is. He's supposedly with the Southern Oregon Militia, but he put out a piece this morning that says that Trump is about to act soon, and he's talking about the fact that the lawyers, Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell, now have all the proof that they're probably going to be a declaration of national emergency. Let's see, the Dominion voting machines are domiciled in Canada, which is a foreign entity. So that's solid proof of foreign intervention, which will cause the enactment of the insurgency law. And with that, he can basically shut down, the heads of the, he says, I'm anticipating that all the heads of the fake news media will be arrested and their firms seized along with all their assets. Facebook, Google, Twitter, and YouTube will suffer the same fate. Dominion voting will be seized from every state that they are currently being used in and forensically examined. And that he believes Georgia's runoff election on January 5th for the control of the Senate will be upended and force Georgia to use paper ballots. He could also take over the emergency broadcast system, bypassing the fake media completely, and just declare a declaration of a national emergency and suspend the Supreme Court and most of the government until this insurgency is taken care of. So I'm just giving the highlights of this whole thing. Somebody wants a copy of it, they can contact me. I'll email it to you.
Oh, and yeah, if you would, I'd like to see. I'd like to read that.
Yeah. You check your inbox. I did send a copy of it out to a lot of people. Let me double check that to make sure.
Is this the Carl Warden podium?
Yes.
I haven't gotten to it yet.
Okay. So you've already got a copy, but if anybody else out there didn't get a copy, if they contact me, I'll be glad to send you that. But again, we don't know how this is all going to play out. Okay. Nobody's got a crystal ball that I'm aware of. All I'm saying is, with every credible source that I've had for years, when they're all saying similar things, that's telling you there's a lot of smoke. What the fire actually is, where it is, how strong of a fire, what kind of a fire, I'm not sure that anybody really knows other than the people that are actually taking part in all this. I'm just going by what I'm hearing. Ralph says here, do I still listen to Roy Potter? No, I gave up on Roy Potter. And Henry Macao, the Canadian fellow, it depends on what he's writing about. I treat him on a case-by-case basis, but Potter has been saying some things I just can't tolerate. I'm not going to tolerate anybody that bashes Germany and what happened in World War II. I think of it as this late in the game, if somebody's out there and trying to tell me that they're telling me the truth about what's going on and they don't know the truth about World War II, I'm sorry. Why should I listen to anything you've got to say? Okay? That's just me. If you're that ignorant about the earth, if you're that ignorant about what's going on medically, if you're that ignorant about something as recent as World War II with tons of evidence out there, why would I listen to you about anything? You're just a gatekeeper and... that's pretty much it as far as I'm concerned, okay? So a Caucasian guy says the Germans were the good guys in World War II. Everyone should know that by now. Yeah, they were. And you know what's ironic? What's ironic is that whole 6 million lie did not exist at the end of World War II. Even the Jew Eisenhower in his memoirs did not say anything at all about a Holocaust, and he was the five-star general. Okay, so if there was a real Holocaust, he would have written about it in his memoirs. He didn't, and neither did Churchill. So this whole hoaxacost thing is nothing more than bullshit being poured out to demonize the German people and to make the Jews look like victims. Once again, even though the Jew Bolsheviks murdered easily 200 to 250 million souls, if you count the Ukraine, Russia, Korea, Vietnam, Cambodia, and all the place in China where all the Jewish finance communism murdered innocent people, easily 250 million. And yet they want us to believe that they should literally get away with murder because of a, quote, 6 million in World War II, which is completely fraud. It's a complete fraud. So, again, if people at this late stage with all the forensic evidence and the Lecter report and the works of Germar Rudolph and his group and, what's his name, Eustace Mullins and Ernst Zundel and all of the people that have put so much information out there, and they paid a very high price to do that. And if you don't know now, then you're just an ignoramus. Okay? I'm sorry, but you're just an ignoramus. We got Gary on the call with us here, if I can get his...
Hi, Pastor. It's Elka. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Elka. Welcome to the program.
Great ranting this morning. I just wanted to let you know with the Germans, maybe as you remember, my uncle was in the Gulag for about 5 years. And if you tell these eyewitness reports, people still don't believe it. But I believe eyewitness reports. And I wanted to mention, I had to apologize to my cousin's husband, who grew up in Moravia and Bohemia. And they got kicked out by the Czech communists. And he mentioned it one time to me. And he said, well, before my eyes, we had to leave right now. And the Czech guy, I guess, shot one of my relatives. And I argued with him because I was so brainwashed from the history. And I had to, years later, I had to go back because he never forgot that. He had really a resentment he couldn't understand. But even in the meantime, I'm pretty sure he's pretty brainwashed by the German government right now. But even the people who experienced this communism, the elderly, they are brainwashed now, and that's really sad. So only some of them. There is a remnant, and my son writes on the social media, but I think it's time is done with the social media warriors. But he asks, he always says, oh, wake up, people, and take a stand against this tyranny happening. You will get what you accept. We are facing tyranny. My rights and liberties don't end where your fear begins. Wake up, take a stand. This is our future at stake. This is our liberty at stake. This is good versus evil. Take a stand. And then he just writes, and I took him to a Patriot meeting, and what I see happening is people are getting up, writing letters and all that, and in the courts, what they are told, they don't have any standing. So when someone goes to court, I think of Martin Luther, you have to take a stand, and you have to have God's spirit behind you that this is your courtroom. Not the judges, not anybody else's. This is your courtroom, and you're making a plea, and they're public servants, elected public servants, and we have to put them in their place. And it takes men like you guys, and we also need covert action, and that's where it gets trippy. When I was sleeping yesterday at night, they're coming out. That's why they have the curfews here in California. They're coming out, and I hear shootings. And it could be that the evil one's taking people away. And Pastor, do you still believe in the Whiteheads?
I'm hoping. I don't have any direct evidence other than the fact that 10 years ago I got that phone call and letter from the gentleman in South Carolina that told me that this, what we're seeing happening right now, is possible. And I see signs that it is possible, and it fits in with what our scriptures tell us as far as the righteous rising up to throw this system down. And if Messiah doesn't return, where are we going to have the power to defeat the beast if we don't have military muscle behind us? Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that Messiah is melting the hearts on some of the military generals and admirals that were the good guys that were let go, and that there are good people in the military that realize just how serious this is, and that they're going to rise up with us. Yeah. It's not going to be just them, that we're going to all rise up, and they're going to work with the sheriffs and the militia. And we're going to rout these communists out. I mean, that's my intention, okay?
Yes.
As long as I suck air, as long as the good Father above gives me life, I am not going to stop until every communist is dead. All right? That's just simple. That's just the way it is. Obadiah says that's what should happen. That's what the history books say should happen. And I'm not a fool. I know what the communists will do to good people. They've proven in the past what they will do. So I'm of the mindset I'd rather see it done to them.
Yeah.
So as long as I'm still on this earth, I'm not going to stop with what I believe should be done. And that's every one of them should be hunted down and destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Elka,
yeah.
If I may, did you say that you have curfews in California? I'm in California. What part of California?
San Diego.
You guys have curfews?
From 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. But I see the sheriff says, oh, are they going to enforce it? But I would test any sheriff, and I would like you to, wherever you are, get on it. And we are checking with the small businesses. Like last week, the public health officer was sniffling in one office. When they get the ones that they got the disease, cease and desist letters, they are actually standing up. They don't care. They are educated, and they're sniffing around into them. Call the sheriff, because that's where the stand is. The sheriff should arrest this public health officer who is harassing them and telling them how to run their business. That's they're his duty now. And if he's not following his duty, he needs to be removed. But that takes too long with the courts. So there have to be citizen arrests, and people like you guys, and if you know anybody from the military, my little group has one from ICE, but he needs to get some, you know what, to do this. He has, maybe he has the guns and all that to arrest the sheriff right then and there, but where are we going to put him, you know? All this has to be logistically measured out. You guys get on it. So that's what I see happening, has to be done. But if you guys have better ideas, you know. But
you remind me of something I meant to mention. There's a group meeting next weekend. It's just a protest group. I went yesterday. And yesterday, I was surprised that a lot of the people had no idea about the root of the problem. That as soon as it started talking, as I started talking about Germany and the Hollow Hoax and all that, they kind of distanced a little bit. And there was also, I'm pretty sure, some agent provocateurs in and around me, and I did feel a little like, you know, there could be a problem. I have plans to go next week just to see, if maybe even take a sign about Germans or in Sundal or something like that. But if I go next week, knowing what I experienced yesterday, I think it would be smart. Well, one, I'm not going to go on my bike and all my bike gear because I can't. I can't really defend myself if I have to, if I'm straddling a bike. But so I'm probably going to walk. And I'd like to find some support. That was just me talking about Germany, and I need some. I can't watch my own back. And there was a guy behind me, really close, awkwardly close, black guy filming or something with his phone, and I was surprised to see him behind me. You know, while I was confronting some guy. So if anyone on the call in the chat room is aware of groups that are willing to travel not far or are already in our area. So I'm in Santa Barbara. Sounds like Elka's in San Diego. I could use some support next week because I have plans to go down there and I don't really want to go alone.
Mm-hmm. Well, come down here. We need people too. So it's hard to get the people. When you talk about Germany, you've lost them already. You want to win people, so you have to come to a common ground. Where are they hurt? So small businesses is a good start to get people, and we have to educate them later about this because they are too brainwashed. We want to get them on our side, so the Germany and the Holocaust might not be a way to approach it. It's where are they hurt, their pocketbooks. And I always was saying they might get off their arses when they start having problems with their pocketbook. And it's about survival. It's really about survival. And we have the covering of our Heavenly Father, but the evil ones want to take that away. And then corruption starts. Everybody's out for themselves. So that's the churches don't give that covering anymore. The fathers in the houses were supposed to do that, and I don't know if they know their responsibility. So it takes anybody who can do it and give that covering to anybody who needs it, like the spiritual covering. And I think that's where it is, because they want to sever the spiritual communication we have. You know, and I don't know, through the phone it's okay, but if you meet in person, that's where it happens, the spiritual connections with people. And we want to have as many as possible, you know. But like in the Bible with Gideon, it just takes a small ragtag team, a small amount, just a few men. So anyway, that's my story today. Hello?
Yep.
Hello? Oh, okay. Everybody's quiet.
Yeah, I just wasn't quite sure how to follow that up, because it's the call we've been trying to get across for decades. People sitting in their homes on their asses, not getting involved, is how we got to this point. And partly it's the church's fault. The church, the preachers have been telling our people that that's the proper Christian attitude, is to let the ungodly do what they do. Don't worry, God will sort it out and all that stuff. Well, they sort of left out the part where our Father works through his people. And when we do what we're supposed to do, in effect, we are him on earth.
Hi, Marcy. So, we're just listening to something.
Yeah.
Our pastor, I was calling in.
Yeah, hey, Elka, you're still, hold on a minute.
Oh.
You want to mute your phone, or no, you don't, I don't know how you're still on.
I think you need to mute. Hold on, please.
Yeah, I can mute you at this end. I'm just looking for your entry here, and I don't see it. Holy cow, where did you go?
Okay, it's Gary, under Gary.
Well, yeah, but I don't see Gary. Oh, here it is, Gary.
Yeah,
all right.
You can mute it.
Okay. Yep, there we go. All right, now it's muted. Very good. Okay. Very good. Got that taken care of. So, but anyway, acquiescence and sitting back thinking other people will take care of the problem when the good people are sitting at home and not getting involved is part of the problem. And like Elka says, and just like you said too, Adam, too often our warriors are out there alone when we should be going to things in groups. Because that's where the strength comes. That's why they... the enemy does that. Okay, when they go out, they don't go out one by one at a time. They go out in large groups. So, we should learn from that. But anyway, that's where we're at. We're coming up on the 2-hour mark here. So, believe it or not, boy, that was fast. I've pretty much covered the things I want to cover. Adam, did you have anything else?
No, just those things really about, I don't know. It's all the stuff to talk about. Hopefully this week I'm going to be calling some different channels. I'm going to call my sheriff tomorrow. I had thought that it was a woman, but apparently it's not. It's a guy, Sheriff Brown. So that's good news, I think. I'm going to call him and see if I can see what he's about. And because I heard yesterday from one of the guys who's in a militia nearby that the sheriff is a good guy. I don't know that, but I'll find out. So,
well, just remember when you're talking to people like Elko was talking about, the you don't want to hit them up with the hard stuff and the big chunks of meat. You want to keep it simple and focused until you find out who you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Gary?
Yeah, it's Elka again. Adam, oh. Adam, we have an outline how to do that with the sheriff, and I might be able even to find out about your sheriff. There are a couple of counties in California that have sheriffs, and all they do is talk and do nothing. That's not a good thing for a sheriff, right? Talking and not doing anything. In other words, not enforcing the rights the restraints that he has, like enforcing arresting these public officials or even the supervisors or even the governor. That's his duty right now. That's in front of him, in black and white. So we have to hold him accountable. So I can send you all that stuff that we are preparing for doing here, because this one is an evil one here in San Diego County. So if you're interested, I think I have your email, and then you can go from there. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you so much.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's it, Pastor. You can mute me again.
Oh, okay. Very good. Thanks a lot, Elka.
Thanks, Elka. I appreciate that. Yeah, that's it for me, Dan. Thanks again for your call.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, and Yahweh bless. Glad to see you guys are trying to make a difference out there in that communist pit called California. I personally like the idea of secessionists that are going on. California should be three different states, and some of the other states are talking about dividing up. But really, all we need to do is isolate the cities, because that's where the concentration of the communists are. So we don't actually have to break up our states so much as just put fences around the metropolitan cities and starve them out. And we could get rid of them. We don't even have to really fight them. Just cordon off the cities. Don't let anything in or out. And just starve them out. Because they don't work. They don't grow anything. They depend on us for everything. So just shut off the water supplies. Shut off the food. Shut off the gas. And let them basically just wither like a vine and disappear.
I'm for it.
All right, Adam. Yahweh bless, bud. We'll
Yahweh
talk
bless.
To you again.
All right.
Bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Again, that was Adam and Elka out there in California. Keep them in your prayers. Activists trying to do what they can do. If only we could multiply them by tens of thousands, it'd be amazing. We'd have a Gideon force. We would. We could basically take over from the communists. I mean, it really wouldn't take that much. Just like Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, if even 2% of the population had risen up, they could have easily subdued the Jewish Bolsheviks, easily. So our people just have to learn how to be warriors again. Men have to learn how to be men again and stop going along with this feminist Zionist bullshit program where they're trying to emasculate our men and turn us all into slaves, willing slaves to their communist takeover. We don't have to accept that. Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to reach out. We just pray that your words would reach the ears that they're supposed to. We pray for the awakening, as Ezekiel promised us, this valley of dead and dry, spiritually dead and dry, white bones. Wake the white race up. Unbelievable that the children of Abraham are so subdued and acquiesced to all of this nonsense. We pray that your spirit, your righteous warrior spirit would rise up, and that we would envision true liberty upon this earth for all of mankind and get rid of these monsters that walk amongst us. And we know we're not doing a very good job, but if you'll guide us, Father, and you'll raise up your leaders as you've intended, and the warriors will get behind them, then we can make a difference. We can make a difference very, very quickly. In the meantime, give us strength of character, give us wisdom, discernment, and most certainly protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.